Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you so much for being a part of things. And if you're watching online, we want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here tonight with us as well in spirit. It has been a busy weekend for our church family. A lot of us went hiking, never seen ministry yesterday up to McAfee's Knob. In about 5 or 6 years of us doing, I've never seen it so crowded. People were parking a mile down the hill and having to already hike a mile just to get up to where the trailhead is. And so it was a crazy, wonderful, beautiful day yesterday. We were unable to get in at the home place. I guess you've probably heard by now, but this was the last weekend that it'll be open this year. And they're reassessing things just because of COVID and some things like that. But we're happy to say, even though we couldn't get in at this restaurant, a line wrapped all the way around the building of people wanting to get in to celebrate the home place restaurant. So we went to Home Place Junior, which was Cracker Barrel. And we had a fantastic meal. Everything tastes good after a hike, right? And so we had a wonderful time. Yesterday morning, we had a group of folks giving tours at our new ministry center. That was exciting to see so many of you get to experience what that building looks like, and it's just really taking shape. And again, we did that this morning. A lot of fun. And in this morning, also, our ladies met at a local park just for a time of devotional and prayer together. And so it just feels great to be out and about during a beautiful week, beautiful weekend, being the church together, blessing one another, encouraging one another. So we are really glad that you are here this evening. This is one of my favorite Sundays that we do as a church family, Covenant Renewal Sunday. This is an opportunity for us as a church to reaffirm our membership, and we are a covenant membership church. So what that means is, as you came in this evening, you should have received a covenant. And in just a moment, if you didn't get one, if you'd raise your hand, we'll have people find you. I don't know if they're ready to do that, but if y'all can be ready to do that in just a moment, we'll do that. But on this covenant, we sign this, and we'll walk through this at the end of the service together today. But once a year, we basically reset our membership. We want to know that everyone that's a member of North Star is affirming their membership. They want to be members here. It's not something that you join once and your name is on a roll for the rest of your life, but it's a fluid, real, significant, meaningful membership. And so tonight you'll see at the end of the service, our members will come up with their signed covenants reaffirming that. If you're watching online as a member, you know that we send out emails, things like that this week. So there's online ways for you to sign or email this in to us at the church office as well. But for those of you here tonight and you're not a member, you're going, oh gosh, it's one of those Sundays. This is actually one of the best Sundays to be a part, because you get to look into the innards and see what the DNA is of our church family. And so on the bottom of these membership covenants, you'll see a spot for you that if you're not a member, but you'd like to learn more about what it means to become a member, we want to invite you to Discovering North Star and have you sign up and participate in that. It doesn't commit you to membership, but it's a prerequisite along the way to becoming a member. But we want to invite you to be on this journey together of being the church together. So with that said, if you don't have a membership covenant, we now have folks in the back that are ready to go. Will you just slip your hand up? They'll come find you. Make sure your hand's up high enough so they can see you, and they will get a membership covenant to you. There's only a few, so that's great. While they're doing that, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. You can open your devices and just kind of hold your finger there, but in a few moments, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43. But let me set us up for what when we get to this passage of Scripture this evening. The title of the message tonight is basically the invulnerability virus. The invulnerability virus. And here's how this looks. As long before we ever heard of the coronavirus, we have been gripped by an illness of catastrophic proportion. It is an infectious virus that impacts every one of us. It's not passed from person to person, but you get this virus from simple exposure to this sinful, broken world. As a result, we are all invulnerable. Now, if you're Superman, that's great news. It means that only kryptonite can mess with you. But for us normal people, invulnerability is a horrible, soul-sapping condition. I use the term invulnerable to simply mean that we have an inability to be vulnerable. An inability to be vulnerable. One with another and one with God. So how do I know this? Because you walk into North Star on any given Sunday, and the question that we all seem to ask one another is, how are you? So let me just ask you guys this evening, how are you? There you go. That's the condition that we respond with, right? Fine, good, okay. We are rife with nice. We respond typically to how are you doing with great, fine. One of my personal favorites is dandy. That seems to throw people off just a little bit. It's like, oh, he's doing a little bit better than okay, but I don't know what dandy really means. But we don't reveal to one another our hurts, our hang-ups, our failures, our successes, our sin struggles, our insecurities, what we're excited about, the personal darkness that we struggle with. We don't reveal those things to each other very often at all because we are afraid. We are afraid to be vulnerable. I think we're afraid that if someone really knew us, they wouldn't like us. They wouldn't love us. We're afraid that if they knew what we had done, what we think, how we really are in our dark moments. When you ask me if I like your outfit, you don't want to know what I'm really thinking. Things like that. When we really are in our moments, we think they would not like me or love me. That we'd be rejected. Like Matt talked about last night, we have an epidemic of aloneness in spite of a lot of connection in our culture. We're afraid of being alone. The truth is that knowing and being known is the height of intimacy and safety with another person. Being loved in your knownness is the summit of personhood. Being able to be yourself around another, completely vulnerable with another, and being confident of being loved by that person is the most freeing experience we have as humans. And gloriously, that is the experience we always have in the presence of Jesus. And so building on Matt's message last week with the woman at the well from John chapter 4, if you were here last week or if you saw it on live stream, she went and she told her entire town, whom she had avoided before that point because of her bad reputation, she said, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Her influence brought her entire town to want to come and meet with Jesus. Why? Because they saw a joy and a transformation in her face from someone having truly put their finger on her soul and loved her still. They saw that it transformed her countenance. It transformed her perspective. It transformed her hope. And so the result from that, and let me read to you from John chapter 4, verse 39. It'll be on the screens. You can hold your places in John 1. But in John 4:39, the result is this. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this really is the Savior of the world. It's amazing how this woman experienced the knowing of Jesus. He didn't just look at her face, he looked at her soul, and he loved her for who she was, not just for who she would become. He loved every part of her. He died for every part of her. She realized that the knowing of Jesus is also the loving of Jesus. That she was known and she was loved for who she was, and Jesus had offered her living water. He told her she would never have to come back to this physical well, but that the water that he would give her would be a well of water springing up inside of her to eternal life. And so essentially what Jesus was saying is that if you will depend on me daily, I will quench the thirst of your soul every time you come to me. I will satisfy you. I will be your source. I will be your strength. I will be your healing. I will be the love of your life. We know that every human needs water to live. Physical water, H2O. But in reality, what Jesus was trying to communicate to this woman, that every human needs the presence of God in their life to be fully human, to be fully satisfied. And so the great news is that God loves you through Jesus, and he loves you so radically, and he loves you so fully that he died on a cross for me, and he died on a cross for you, so that faith in him might produce in you this well of water that is always present. What was Jesus doing during his earthly ministry? Was he just having these random encounters with individuals? Was he just telling this individual something, healing this individual, casting out this individual? What was Jesus doing in the 3 years of his public ministry? Well, according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, don't turn there, but just very simply, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What Jesus was doing was he was building an undefeatable church. He was building a community of humans who would come together through mutual faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they would come together and they would encourage one another, would serve one another, and that together they would be on mission to build God's kingdom in this world in such a way that they could never be discouraged, defeated, or distracted. He was building his church. And so there'll be a definition behind me, but let me read it for you. It says, the church of Jesus Christ is a recognized group of people following Jesus, serving one another, establishing his kingdom by sharing his gospel together. That is a church. And we live in a culture these days that is full of individuality. And let me just say, we're full of invulnerable individuals. We're full of people who like to do their own thing and who at the same time are not vulnerable with anybody, don't invite anyone into the depths of their struggles and of their souls. And as a result, we all go our separate ways, and we wonder why psychiatrists and psychologists are sounding the warning gong in the middle of a pandemic that the incidences of suicide and anxiety and depression are skyrocketing. And we wonder why they were already rising even before the pandemic struck. It's not because we're vulnerable with each other, it's because we're invulnerable. We're scared of being known. We're scared of allowing someone else in. And unfortunately for most people, that begins with God. People are afraid of letting God into their life. And that is what we as a church are commissioned to be and to do, is to communicate to the world that it is a refreshing, enjoyable, wonderful life of allowing God in by faith and surrendering to Him daily in joyful obedience. And so being the church, and that's what we have as our tagline everywhere you'll look, is be the church. Being the church means being known by God and surrendering your life and faith to Jesus, and as a result, learning to know others and allow them to know you. So in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, as a follow-up to the woman at the well, let me share with you another individual that Jesus encountered as he's in the process of building his church. In John chapter 1, in verse 43, Jesus had just gone back to Galilee, and it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip, and he told him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael asked him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, it's a little bit like some of you snarky Virginians asking me, can anything good come out of Arkansas? It's kind of one of those feelings. It's like Nazareth was this backwater, small town village, and the idea of the Messiah of God coming from Nazareth was just, it couldn't be. It was a non sequitur. They just couldn't get it. And so Nathanael repeats this common mantra of like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip simply answers, which I think is just genius of Philip. He says, come and see. I'm not going to try to argue with you. I'm not going to try to prove it. I'm going to bring you to Jesus. I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. And I'll let Jesus answer that question for you. So Nathanael goes with Philip, and in verse 47, it says, then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. So here the two guys are walking up to Jesus, and Jesus says, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. That's an interesting way of saying, how are you? I mean, this is a provocative and profound greeting, and it kind of takes Nathanael back, and Nathanael says, how do you know me? Isn't it great that Jesus knows people? Before we ever meet Jesus, he knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows what we think. He knows what we struggle with. And it becomes a little bit ridiculous when we and those that we love who haven't allowed Jesus into our life yet, when we pretend that we can hide from God. Nathanael says, how do you know me? And that could only be a real question if Jesus' greeting was accurate. Now think about that for a moment. If Jesus says, hey, here comes Nathanael, I hear you are a rotten, no good scoundrel, and Nathanael was an upstanding member of the community, Nathanael would kind of look at Philip and say, this guy has no clue who I am. So Nathanael responds in this way because what Jesus says about him is accurate, but Nathanael knows that Jesus doesn't know him. What this means is that Nathanael had a heart that genuinely had no guile in it. Nathanael was a worshiper of God. Nathanael was authentic. Nathanael was real. He was genuine. He wasn't fake. And when Jesus said what he said in greeting, in whom there is no deceit, it struck Nathanael to the core. How does this man know my character? Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus answered. Interesting response. To which Nathanael replies, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered to him and says, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. And then he said, truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What is this deal about a fig tree, right? You're like, I don't get it. Well, this is one of those places in Scripture where we don't have verse 48a, 48b, 48c. Because here's what's happening. It's just from the conversation we can extrapolate that Nathanael had been under a fig tree. And that while Nathanael had been under a fig tree, Nathanael had been thinking some big thoughts. Not fig thoughts, but big thoughts. Nathanael had been wrestling. Nathanael had been praying. Nathanael had been crying out to God, perhaps asking God, God, do you see me? God, where are you? God, I'm confused. God, I'm struggling. I'm trying to live this life that's pleasing to you, but things aren't working out for me. God, do you see me? There's this moment that Nathanael in vulnerability was crying out to God, and that's why what Jesus says to him here is so earth-shattering to Nathanael. He had been having an ordinary Tuesday. Now he was talking with God. Because Jesus says to Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I heard you. I know you. It's the only thing that would explain Nathanael's response, who had just said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And in the very next breath, what is Nathanael saying? He is having another high confession, perhaps even greater than that of Peter later. And he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus responds, this was easy. You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, your mind's going to be blown. You're going to see greater things. You're going to see amazing things. Follow me. Follow me. It's an invitation to Nathanael to be one of Jesus' disciples. This profound passage is so revealing to us. Jesus is building his church, and he is inviting people to follow him. But he's not inviting them to follow him individually. He's inviting them to follow him collectively, as a team, as a group, as an organization. Jesus knew who belonged to him. He knew who was part of his team. He had 12 disciples. He intentionally selected each one of those. And as we track the growth of the church in the New Testament, when Paul writes to the church at Galatia and the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae and the church at Thessalonica, the believers who are leading those churches, the elders, they knew who belonged to those churches. They knew who were in, and they knew who were not a member of their churches. It was a recognized group of people following Jesus together, loving one another, serving one another, all working for the common good of establishing the kingdom of God together. Jesus calls us to follow him together. And Jesus knows that there's nothing greater than being known and giving that gift of knowing others to others and inviting them out of invulnerability and introducing them to the vaccine of vulnerability through faith in Jesus, of helping people understand how good it is to be real with God first and then real with others. As we love one another, we pray for one another, we encourage one another, we serve one another, we consider others as better than ourselves, and the New Testament is replete with one another commands, encouraging us to know and be known, choosing vulnerability. What happens along the way for a church that follows Jesus with all of their heart and communicates the love of Christ to everyone is that the world and its weight and its dysfunction is defeated little by little. People are invited out of hiddenness into the light. That's why Jesus looked at us and says, we are the light of the world. And as they step into the light through knowing Jesus Christ by faith, they begin to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit begins to well up in our lives like this spring of living water, and that Jesus is the constant nourishment of that spring. And as we rely upon Him through our Tuesdays, our Wednesdays, our Thursdays, our Fridays, we become, because of Jesus in us, we become that well of living water for a parched world. There is nothing greater than rejoicing in being loved and loving others freely with the love of God. I don't want us to make any mistakes tonight and misunderstand that Jesus did not just come to save us individually. He came to give each one of us salvation, but then to invite us into His church, to invite us into belonging, to invite us into these one another's. He does not relate with us primarily as individuals, but He connects us to each other. Scripture says that we are His body, that we are His bride, that we are His family, that we are His vineyard. And so we are not independent and vulnerable individuals who each follow God as we want to, but we submit to God and we submit to one another because we're part of something more beautiful and bigger than we could ever be by ourselves. We build His kingdom together. We are His church together. Jesus has saved us and sent us to be His church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And so at North Star, when we celebrate Covenant Renewal Sunday, we celebrate our belonging to each other, our submission to one another. We celebrate the joy of belonging to Jesus and making much of Him together. Earlier I said the church is a recognized group of people following Jesus, serving one another, establishing His kingdom by sharing His gospel together. But let me share with you now, if you will, you can pick up your covenant that you walked in. And I want to walk you through real briefly just the 5 points of our covenant that we make together. All of the little bullet points are simply explanatory. They're simply illustrative of what each of these larger points means. And so there'll be slides up there behind me, but the very first one is, I will cultivate my relationship to Jesus Christ, obey His teachings, and practice His ways. This point of our membership covenant communicates to all of us that you are responsible as a member of North Star to cultivate your love for Jesus. We can't make you love Him. And so when you join North Star, you say, I understand that I'm responsible for pursuing a love relationship with Jesus. And so you're just saying, I want to do that. I covenant together to do that. The second point is, I will protect the unity of my church and Christ's kingdom. It is so important to Jesus that His church is unified in relationship and in mission. In John chapter 17, the very last evening of Jesus' life before His crucifixion, Jesus prays that we would be one. And then He says that the world will recognize that we are His disciples when we are one, when we are unified. The third point that we covenant together is we will share the responsibility of my church in Christ's kingdom. When you join North Star, when you join any church, you don't just say, I go to that church, but you talk about it being my church. These are my people. The mission of North Star is now your mission. And so we understand that together, we don't just come and receive benefits. We don't ask ourselves, what's the benefits package for being a member of North Star? We of course, there are benefits for being a part of the church, but in reality, we also say, how can I serve? How can I be a part of this mission of this church together? The fourth covenant is, I will serve in the ministry of my church in Christ's kingdom. And then finally, the fifth is, I will proclaim the glory of my Lord to others and tell others of his marvelous works. You see, the joy of membership at North Star, the joy of membership in a church, is that we progressively learn to be vulnerable with God, to be vulnerable with one another, to invite others in, asking them to help us grow, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, sharing with one another, all because we're doing something for a larger purpose, that's building the kingdom of God in our world. And so if you are a member of North Star here this evening, and you've come and you're ready to renew your covenant, as the worship team comes and prepares to lead us in worship, during this last song, we want to invite you to sign your covenant and simply bring it to the stage and leave it here. If you're a guest here this evening, and tonight you've said, you know what, I'm in. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this group of people, in this time, in this place, and students. Some of you are even thinking, I'm only going to be here for 4 years or 3 years or 6 more months. We would still love to have you be members of our church. It is not a matter of your longevity here. It's a matter of your vulnerability and your willingness while you're here. And so we invite you to be a part, to consider being a part of that as well. And if that's you, there's a place there on that for you just to say, hey, I'm going to put my name and my email, and we'll contact you. We'll give you information about discovering North Star. And if you can't attend on the 27th, we'll make sure to get you some information about the next scheduled opportunity for you as well.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.